Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you, and welcome to another Perspectives on Healthcare podcast. My guest today is E. Liz Green. She is a heart patient from out in Wisconsin. She is a member of Generation X. E. Liz, welcome to the podcast.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you bet. So can you tell me a little bit about your background when it comes to healthcare, please?
Well, I am a avid consumer of healthcare, really my journey specifically in terms of providing a patient's perspective, particularly around heart disease and women in heart disease, started when I was 35 years old and 7 months pregnant with twins. I was on bed rest in a hospital because I was in preterm labor. We were 32 and a half weeks along, which I can say in a healthcare environment, and people will get what that means. When I had a heart attack, more specifically, what I had was a spontaneous dissection of my LAD, which is a scary thing to happen. Fortunately, I was right there in the hospital, and not only was it a great baby hospital, it turned out it was a great heart hospital. So we partook in the labor and delivery, neonatal, cardiac surgery, and cardiac recovery in that hospital all at the same time. It was a lot, and it propelled me because I have this wacky story. Fortunately, I survived and recovered well, due really to the excellent care that I got. And those babies are 21 years old, so the story turns out well. But I really felt propelled to share the story, not only to other people in terms of paying attention to their heart health, but also with healthcare providers to share the things that were wonderful and special and some of the challenges as a woman, especially at that time, a young woman dealing with heart disease and some of the challenges I faced in receiving healthcare.
Okay. I'm assuming you know more about your own personal care than I obviously do. Is this is the issue that you have with heart health, is that a pregnant with twins side effect? Is that a women's healthcare issue? What would you say are the kind of the correlating factors that would contribute to that?
Right. I have talked to a number of physicians, including my own, but then as I have traveled talking about this particular incident, get a lot of information. So a spontaneous dissection is a rare, but not unheard of complication of pregnancy. They think the hormones in the body that soften everything up for birth, combined with the pressure of all of the blood that I was pumping, actually caused the inside of my the artery to peel away and create like a trap door and stopping the flow of blood. So what caused it is probably pregnancy related. Other people have the same thing. Oftentimes when you hear of an athlete collapsing and having some sort of heart thing, it's a spontaneous dissection. What was scary, well, all of it was scary for the people around me, but what was scary is that I also went into cardiac arrest. So there was a lot going on there.
Okay. And I don't want to make light of it, but the fact is you're in Wisconsin, and Wisconsin has kind of a reputation for like cheese curds, brats, and beer. And this sounds like it's not related to that side of things. It's more because you're talking about athletes having a similar issue because of the stress that the heart is under. Because from the physical demands on the body, not from poor maintenance. Does that make sense?
Right. That's exactly right. And thank you for asking that question that way. Often get the question is like, were you not taking care of yourself? Is that why you had, which is, you know, a different way to ask the question. So I appreciate that question. The cheese curds in all in our high rate of obesity is an unfortunate thing in our community, but it does mean that we have great heart hospitals because it's a great place to do research on heart disease.
Got it. Hey, listen, you don't have the exclusive inside track on unhealthy things here in Pittsburgh. Right. We have a Pittsburgh salad, okay? And it does have a bed of lettuce, but then you put on it fried chicken and you put on French fries and cheese and just a whole plethora of other things. It's almost like having poutine on the top of your salad.
Oh.
Except instead of gravy, you just put salad dressing on it. So and anyway, it is about as unhealthy as you can get. So,
right.
But again, what I hear you saying, and I think the important thing for everyone to understand is this is something that you're facing, not because of poor health choices, but because of just simply what your body is going through. So very interesting.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And my ongoing heart issues are related to that. I had a triple bypass to repair my heart. And so I have a small part of my heart that doesn't beat anymore. So I'm always going to be at higher risk of something else happening to my heart, which is why the work that I do both in advocating for heart health and my work around stress is very important personally, as well as sharing with other people.
Excellent. I'm going to throw in a question here that was not on the list, but have you met any healthcare heroes along the way? People that say these people are doing it right, or this person is really doing it right?
Absolutely. From I was on bed rest for a month before my heart had a problem, and then another 10 days after that. So a long time. And the nurses on the floors being on bed rest for a month is lonely, and you know, you get pregnancy emotions and all kinds of things are happening to your body. And there were nurses who, as they came in the door, were just such a breath of energy and fresh air and kindness that sustained me. They even would, if I was behaving, meaning that I wasn't in enough late labor for them to do something about it, I get to go in a wheelchair and visit other people on the floor on Thursdays for lunch, which, I mean, from Thursday to Thursday, it sounds like such a small thing, but from Thursday to Thursday, it drove me, right? That I just waited for Thursday lunchtime to come along. So I got to get out of my room for a little while and see other people and just talk. And, you know, we're all in the right position, so we're not going into labor any more than we already are, but that really sustained me. And then when everything happened, my cardiologist who did the cath for me to look at what was going on in my heart, even though I was intubated, leaned over and made eye contact with me as I'm laying in the cardiac cath lab and talked to me. He didn't have to, and talked to me as if I could respond. And all the way through the procedure and talking about what's going to happen next, that was fantastic. My high-risk OBGYN kept coming and whispering in my ear about how well the babies were doing. It was all of these things combined. NICU nurses and all of the rest really gathering around us. And you know, this was a pretty scary thing for them as well. A pregnant mom on the maternity floor coding is not a good day for anybody in the hospital. So there was a lot going on. We had an entire entourage following us around, but everybody pulled together. I remember in the OR, a nurse that had many piercings in her ear, just talking to me as they were getting me prepped, and meeting her later and recognizing her from the piercings in her ear and just thanking her for being so kind. So many heroes.
Fantastic. Okay. We've officially accomplished one question and I've only got 10 minutes left.
All right, so let's go. Focus.
All right, what does quality healthcare mean to you?
I think it starts first with an acknowledgement of the patient as a human being. And I have had that clearly in the things that I have said. I have had that, and I've also not had that. When you are me and you show up in an ER with chest pain or a fluttery heart, and someone just tells you, oh, it's okay, it's just your anxiety, you're too young to be having something to happen with your heart, that is not seeing me as the human I am.
Yeah, very powerful. You've already kind of done this, but can you give me an example of quality healthcare? Mm-hmm.
Oh, so many. But I'll go back to my current GP. And we've had a relationship for quite a while. But recently, I found out more about my family history, what's going on with my mom. And she spent quite a bit of time with me unraveling that and figuring out what we needed for me. Again, it's seeing me as a full human being, which was really wonderful.
Yep. Okay. What do you wish people understood about you in healthcare? And that can go from either direction. What do you wish either your practitioners understood about you, or what do you wish that the people around you understood about your experiences?
Well, I'm going to take a little liberty with that question.
Feel free.
And talk about, what I wish healthcare providers would know about women and how we present with heart issues. Our symptoms are so much more subtle, and they can look like anxiety or stomach upset or just aches and pains. And I think we're doing so much better about that. Way back in the day, women were regularly dismissed with those symptoms. Now I think we do better, but women are still less likely to receive treatment or referral unless they're really, really sick. And I wish there was just a moment, a pause to say, this woman looks like she's just having anxiety, but maybe run the test anyway.
Okay. Back when I was a teenager, there was a series of books that came out, and the books were called like Clean Irish Limericks and... you know, everything men know about women. And it was just it was 200 pages that were completely blank. And so there is an element of what you're talking about that, you know, what there's not enough known about
women. Oh, yeah. I mean, and, even in research, absolutely right.
And so for people to be aware of that and to have a cognition that when a woman comes in and has these indicators, let's make sure that we're not underselling what's going on with her. Sounds like exactly fantastic advice. What excites you about the future of healthcare?
Oh, well, right now I have a daughter who is a senior in college who is a psychology major and is applying to grad school to PhD programs. I'm excited about the young minds coming in and the embracing of younger minds, a more vibrant and diverse group of people being welcomed into the medical and research community. I work with a number of different medical groups, and seeing that and the excitement and the new ideas that get brought to the table, I think we're just scratching the surface of what's possible.
It's so interesting to hear you say that. And here's what I'm thinking. There has been a traditional and probably stereotypical dismissal mm-hmm. of patients and of young practitioners by mm-hmm. the older generation to say, like, you're just a patient, what do you know? Or you're mm-hmm. just a kid, you're still wet behind the ears, what do you right. know? And right. that, I mean, listen, it's where this podcast comes from and why I think it's important for us to have a broad span of age groups represented, from baby, you know, from baby boomers to Generation Z, where mm-hmm. because everybody looks at things differently, and there
Absolutely,
needs to be
right.
just because you look at it different doesn't mean that you're wrong, and there might be some validity. And over and over, I've heard the same refrain: we need to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that involves listening to your patient. It involves listening to people who have different viewpoints than you. And it involves listening to other generations, especially.
Right.
And I think it's got to be mutual, where the younger generation
sure.
has to say, the older generation has been through this, and there's things that we can learn from them, even though they're stereotypically set in their ways. And vice versa, the younger generation has something that we can learn from, even though mm-hmm. they just want to change everything and do everything different. So, okay. Last question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve mm-hmm. the quality of healthcare?
Oh, you know, that's a really hard question, because I have such respect and empathy for the position medical professionals are in right now, the time crunch and the lack of healthcare professionals in many communities. So I recognize that the environment has changed in terms mm-hmm. of the pressures that they're facing. I wish there was something on our end that we could do to impact that. And I think that's around rallying to make sure that people who make those decisions know how important it is to support the medical community. But I think I go back to the just taking a breath and recognizing that the person that you're interacting with is a full human, not the disease or the injury or the medication, but there's a full human here.
Okay, let me just key off on what you said.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, when you realize that the patient is more than just a diagnosis, mm-hmm. they are a full person who has a full set of connections outside of whatever setting it is that you're seeing in them. There's mm-hmm. there's a work self, there's a family self, there's all of these items. What you realize then is that when a medical professional is assisting somebody with mm-hmm. their diagnosis, it allows them to get back to doing what they do. And so mm-hmm. it has a positive impact on the family. It has a positive impact on their work. It has a positive impact on their employment. So it actually opens up the whole scope to say, when you are treating people, when you are helping people to resolve the health issues that they are facing, you are making a broader impact in the community and allowing the community to thrive because all of its members are able to be involved. So I think right. that it's a two-way street there, that that seeing the patients for who they are and also seeing the impact for what it is. But listen, Eliz Green, thank you so much for being with me today. I really appreciate you stopping in to share a patient's perspective, and I respect your perspective on healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.